very much, and good afternoon. Welcome into today's community comment. I think we're on.
I believe we are. It feels like we're on.
I apologize. Wally, if you're listening, we could not hear you.
So no.
I think we are on the air. I believe so. welcome into community comment today here on Friday, March 7th. I'm your host, Kevin Haugen. It's my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this afternoon. Our guest here on Community Comment today with us with the Beaver Dam Police Department is Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson. Lieutenant, thank you so much for coming in today.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this is how my day has been going. Officially declaring the city of Beaver Dam a disaster area. Stay away from me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's one of those you came in and just things were happening that we just wasn't mentally prepared for. And
that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that happens.
We're going to be okay. We're going to have a good show.
Tomorrow's the weekend. We're nearing. Do you get off on Saturdays?
Or I don't.
That means nothing to you when I say the weekend's coming up.
So my weekend this next week is Monday through Wednesday.
Okay.
Coming up here. Okay. So. So we work a weird rotation. Good question, by the way.
Yeah, maybe this is it. I don't think we have.
So the patrol division at the Beaver Dam Police Department, they work a 5-on, 3-off rotation, and then every third week, instead of 3 days off, we get 2 days off. So it's like 5-3, 5-3, 5-2. Did I say 5-3? That's how that works.
Yeah, don't make me fact check though.
Right. But like, so our weekend moves down as
it shifts
as
the weeks
and months go on.
Essentially so everyone can get, because obviously there still needs to be your coverage on Saturday. The city just no crime exists on Saturdays and Sundays.
Right. Yeah, everybody goes home. Maybe we'll have a sheriff's deputy come in and handle it on Saturday. But other than that, leave a voicemail. Get back to you on Monday. So fire department does the same thing.
That's why you never
let it burn for a little bit.
Everybody knows to be responsible on the weekends.
Insurance companies don't like that.
That doesn't go over well.
Yeah, so it makes sure that we get our days off on a regular rotation, and it's nice because we do get weekends off. It's just not all the time.
Gotcha.
What is nice is that we are able to switch shifts with other officers. So if there's something going on a Saturday, you got some, a soccer game you got to go to, band concert for your kids or whatever, you got plans, you can switch with people and you get it covered. And
it's a little flexible.
We're usually pretty good at, we're all understanding of that, and we gotta scratch each other's back when it comes time to switch. We're
good.
Owe people, we pay them back, and it's how it works. So it's a good partnership that we've got with everybody in the patrol division, and
goes smoothly. So we got 2 days then the lieutenant here before the weekend technically starts. So
Saturday and Sunday are definitely work
you would
days.
Still technically count today, right? So
correct,
you would have
yes,
3 days.
My Wednesday.
So today's Wednesday for the lieutenant.
That's okay.
But that's
that's how it is. We knew what we were getting into.
It comes with the job, right?
That's part of the
experience. Yeah. Again, our guest on Community Comment today, Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson with the Beaver Dam Police Department. Thank you to him for coming in and chatting with us here on this Friday, March 7th, here in the city of Beaver Dam. And before we dive into our main topic here this afternoon, we'll be covering recent posts that the Police Department posted to Facebook, about a school zone safety and about a recent thing that happened here in the city. It's making some rounds here in the news cycles. You just said that a couple of news outlets have come in and interviewed members of the department about this. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But want to highlight quickly, it was the start here just a couple of days ago for the Police Academy here for the Beaver Dam Police Department. Lieutenant, that's you're in charge of that. So how did the first class go?
It actually went fantastic. Everybody, I think we got a good group this year. My nightmare, and I was talking before we were on air, my nightmare is to be at this event and nobody shows up. We get three people that showed up. We're like, I don't know if we can do it this year with just three people. But no, everybody was there. It was fantastic. We got a good group. I got a good vibe from everybody. I think we're going to have a good 14 weeks here. And it's a very positive note. So if you guys are still interested in doing the Citizens Police Academy, we'll take applications right now and I will hold them until 2026. And so,
It starts in March and then it runs through May or June.
The first week in June is our graduation.
First week in June.
So, yeah, it's always Thursday nights, usually between 6 and 10 with a couple of exceptions. Like, we do fire department on a Saturday. And we have when we're doing, like, the firearm stuff, we want to do it during the daylight. So we start a little bit earlier in late May just to make sure that we have sunlight.
Right.
You don't want to be shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. not very safe.
No,
not
it's
very
safe. Yeah, no. Safety is very important.
Yeah,
very
especially
important.
Firearms. So, but yeah, if you guys are still interested, I'll probably be giving you updates as time goes on here, what we're working on, what we're doing, because it's always good to tell everybody, you know, all the stuff that we're doing at the Citizens Police Academy, just because that's the whole point of it, is education to the public of kind of what we do, why we do the things we do, and things like that. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Hopefully you're not getting called in. I don't know if that got caught up on the mics.
No, we're good. We're good. I turn my radio off.
Again.
See, like I said, this is the day I'm having.
Well, speaking of things that we're not remembering to do, I forgot to give out the phone number at the start of the show.
Oh,
so, if you want to call in, the number is 885-4446. So we do have a caller waiting on line one. So let's head to the phones and say welcome to Community Comment.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, Tyler. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, just so you're aware, when you have a fire person in next, I will have a question for them.
All right. Well, we will be waiting for that. I don't know if they're on. I don't have the calendar in front of me, so I can't tell
you. The fire department?
Yeah, the Beaver Dam or whatever. We have a couple fire departments come in. But all right, well, I guess we'll get ready for that call, Tyler. Do you have a question for the police lieutenant today?
Has Jeremy Johnson, have you ever had this fire your arm, your your gun, or your taser as a warning at all?
No, we do not do warning shots. That's a policy thing. It's a big safety thing. The only time I've discharged my firearm in the line of duty was to dispatch a deer that was hit by a car. I've done that twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it. Have not discharged my taser as a use of force. I have done what is called a warning arc, where you take out the taser, the probes don't come out, but you hit the side, it sparks. It's kind of serves as a warning to someone that, hey, you could get tased, and it's kind of a mean sounding sound. I suppose if everybody's okay with it, I could, I have my taser with me. I could demonstrate what that sounds like on the air, if that's all right with everybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I've seen it actually discharged because my dad has gotten tased with the Citizenship Police Academy.
Gotcha. So, yeah, this is a Taser 7 that we have here. I wasn't using a Taser 7 when it happened, but I'll take it off the safety here, and I don't know if the microphone can hear it. So that's called a warning arc, and that's basically it will spark on the end here, kind of giving a warning to a potential suspect that we could get tased after that. So it was effective. He calmed down and we're able to handcuff them after.
That would be effective for me.
Yeah, it's a scary sound.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of sounds like an electric chainsaw a little bit. So, but that is the only time that we've, at least I have, ever used my taser. And as far as the firearm, just for deer, we do draw our firearms quite frequently. High-risk traffic stops, certain situations where someone has a gun or is believed to have a weapon. Just to answer your question, that would be it. So that's a good
thing.
Thank
you for your service.
What's that, Tyler?
I was telling Jeremy Johnson, thank you for his service.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you for the phone call, Tyler. We appreciate that. Here again, our guest, Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson with the Beaver Dam Police Department. Also want to make sure we highlight quickly before we start talking about school zone safety and keeping an eye out for kids as they're on their way to schools. Is another post that the Beaver Dam Police Department just shared a couple of days ago. This past Monday marked one month since the Amber Alert was issued here for Sophia Franklin here in Beaver Dam. Sophie Franklin, excuse me, here in Beaver Dam. You're still investigating. That is still going on. Obviously, this is still active, so there's not much that we can really dive into and discuss, but you're still looking for help from the public if they see anything reported.
Absolutely. So I would absolutely. So we are getting tips. I do know more stuff that has developed with this situation. However, I can't release that to the public right now. And the reason why is because we're dealing with two individuals that don't want to be found. Okay. And the more information that we give out, the more they know that we know, and it would just cause them to move on. So, With that said, we need tips from the public. We continue to get tips from the public. And when we get them in, we either investigate them ourselves at the Beaver Dam Police Department with whatever information that is. If there's a tip that comes in from out of our jurisdiction, we've been partnering with those local law enforcement agencies where the tip is and where it's occurring. And we also are using our federal law enforcement partners, and namely the FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service, to go follow up on those tips.
This is a multiple agency effort here. You know, there's obviously, because it's not just now here in the state of Wisconsin. There's other states that are involved in this case.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are indications pointing us, you know, to it's outside of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that, we are also being proactive using our federal law enforcement partners as well. So, when this is what I've been telling other media sources as well too, is just because we got a tip a month ago doesn't mean we've forgotten about it. So there are certain things that we've been made privy to that, although it didn't develop into anything a couple weeks ago, we can circle back and we can take a look at those things again and check it and see, did anything change? And if it did, that might be a clue to where we should be looking. So I highly encourage the public to continue to give us tips, any information that you have, sightings especially, any information of if somehow, some way, someone is helping out, or they might be in a certain location. Anything you've got, we will take it. And certainly last, working with the family, it's been a while since I talked with the family, but they are in touch with Detective Coons, who's in charge of this case at the Beaver Dam Police Department, and they continue. They're just worried sick about her.
Yeah.
Okay, we need her to come home. We want her to come home. Family absolutely just loves her, you know, brothers, sisters, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, the whole family, and the community outreach too. So we want to know that she's safe. We want to know that she's okay. That's very, very important to everyone. It's just one of those things where unless somebody actually picks up the phone and calls us and lets us know that she is safe or makes contact with a local law enforcement partner, we just won't know.
Yeah.
So, that's we highly encourage those tips. We need to know. That's the information we need, and we want to bring her home safe.
Yeah, obviously, if you go to the post that the Beaver Dam Police Department put on their Facebook page, there's photos of Sophia Franklin and the individual who's charged and who's had an arrest warrant, Gary Day, in this case as well.
Yep.
So there's opportunities to get a visual idea of what they look like. Obviously, you know, they're on the run right now, so it's any tips from anywhere you can get, it will help investigators hopefully solve this case and bring it to a resolution.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure we'll get more details and updates as this progresses here. Again, our guest, Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson, on Community Comment today. I want to pivot now to talk about something a little bit more recent here, just a couple days ago. I believe this was
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Excuse
Time's
me.
Flying.
I know, I blink and it's over here. The week's almost already gone. There was an incident here in the city, in the school zone. Obviously, there's speed limits changed. There's things that drivers need to be aware about when they're in a school zone. But Lieutenant, I'll hand the story over to you. Just set the stage for us, what happened, and then just go into what drivers and the public need to be aware about when traveling through these school zones.
100%. So here's what happened. This was school dismissal Tuesday afternoon at Washington Elementary. This is the intersection of North Center and Liberty. So it's Highway 33. It's the busier part, it's the busier side of the school. A crossing guard had her stop sign out. She was in with two juveniles in front of her. Class had just gotten out. The students were going to get onto the other side of North Center Street. There was a southbound car that missed all the warning signs and ended up stopping at the very last minute. He actually stopped and he was within, I mean, both tires were over the both of the lines. So his car was right in the middle of the crosswalk when he was actually able to, or well, actually did stop at that point. So had the kids been there, they would have been hit. It was so close that the school crossing guard reached out, grabbed the kids, and pulled them back away from getting struck by the vehicle. So first of all, I'd just like to say excellent job with the school crossing guard, being as safe and aware of her surroundings as much as she was. It's just absolutely huge to have that awareness and knowing that our crossing guards are doing their jobs. Had she not been there, had she not been aware and looking around at that traffic that was not slowing down, who knows what would have happened to those poor kids. So kids were shaken after that happened. she was injured too. She had fallen down and she has a minor injury. No breaks or anything like that, but she's back up on her feet. She'll be out doing crossing guard as well, coming up here, I believe, this afternoon. So she's doing all right. But yeah, let's kind of talk about all the things that went wrong there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it seems like it was just one thing that went wrong, but there's a series of safety things that we put in that were just absolutely missed by this driver. Okay. He ended up getting cited for inattentive driving, and we also did like a driver condition report on him as to the reason why he wasn't paying attention to the road. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, there's multiple levels. So, first of all, when you enter that school zone, there's a warning sign several hundred feet back that essentially indicates that there's a crosswalk coming up. It's a big neon yellow sign, and it's got a picture of students crossing in a crosswalk. So that's like warning sign number one.
Yeah.
Warning sign number two is even more important. When there's children present, we have a 15-mile speed limit there, not 25. It drops down from 25 to 15. And in addition, when school's coming in or getting out, we have a flashing yellow light on the top of that 15-mile-per-hour thing. So this, once again, this driver missed 15 miles per hour, missed the school zone sign, missed the flashing yellow light on top of that sign, and was continuing to go, you know. Then when you get to the actual crosswalk, we have another crosswalk sign, just as same as the first. Yep. You've got the crosswalk itself. The crossing guard hit that button to get the flashing yellow light going so the pedestrians could cross. She has a stop sign. She was out in the middle of the crosswalk with the stop sign. There's flashing red lights on the top of the stop sign, and she herself is wearing a blaze yellow vest, you know, for high visibility. And this guy just kept on going, stopped way too late, wasn't paying attention. So that is what I would call a bit of a problem. That is inattentive driving, not good. So I'm glad nobody got majorly hurt, no major injuries, especially the kids. I'm glad that our crossing guard is doing okay. Kudos to her for the excellent job that she did keeping those kids safe. You can tell someone that really believes in the job. Our crossing guards, we have about, I want to say, over 20, 30 of them that help out at different crosswalks. Most of them are retired parents themselves that just like working with kids and enjoy having something to do in the morning and afternoon. And, I absolutely 100% just I want to just say to her that excellent job.
Yeah.
It's
an important role to,
yes,
to serve in any community, because again, a lot of it's volunteer. I know there's
sure
a little pay involved.
Yeah, she doesn't get paid a whole lot. I mean,
it's not much.
She's got a good hourly wage.
Yep.
But we're talking an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon. You know what I mean? So it's not
a lot of it is a call though that people have that they want to help out. They want to,
sure,
protect kids on their way to school, and it's such an important thing that that somebody can do if they have the time and they have the ability to volunteer, be a part, go through, because there's a little bit of training too, right? There are some that goes involved before you hit the streets.
We meet at the beginning of every school year and we train the crossing guards. And if we need substitutes, if we need replacements, we maintain that training. And it's relatively straightforward training. You know, it's, look both ways, cross the street, like that kind of stuff. But there's no training that's going to say, hey, when you see that one car that doesn't look like it's going to stop, grab the kids and get them out of the way.
Yeah.
She did that on her own. It's like I said, a lot of it is common sense. She had that natural protective instinct that must have kicked in. But
the biggest thing though, it seems like the message that we hear from law enforcement officers all the time is pay attention when you're behind the wheel.
Yes.
A lot of people know the right, I may be speaking generalities here, but most people know the right and wrong thing to do when they're behind the wheel. They know, they got to stop at a stop sign.
Right.
Red light's here, it means I stop, green light, I go, people crossing, I don't want to run them over, I got to stop. But if there are distractions in your vehicle, whether you're on your phone or you're fitting with the radio or you're trying to do something else, or your drink falls and you're trying to pick it up.
Exactly.
Those, doesn't matter how well you know the rules of the road, if something happens in your car and you're distracted, something bad is going to happen.
Correct.
Especially in city driving as well.
Yeah, there's so much going on, especially in a school zone. You could have a situation where, kids are playing outside and a ball rolls out into the road. Yep. And if you're not doing 15 miles an hour, are you going to be able to stop in time? You know, and that's why we reduce that speed limit, to decrease the chances of an actual impact happening. You know, studies have been done by the DOT, and our DPW makes recommendations, and, you know, that's why we're doing 15, is because you should be able to stop, not on a dime, but darn close to it, you know, 15 miles per hour. Next time you're driving 15 miles an hour and you're in a parking lot somewhere, wherever it's safe to do so, try getting hard on your brakes and stopping quickly. It's a lot better than 25 miles per hour, you know, and that's why they put that speed limit there.
Yeah, and the other thing too, I know the police department has been focusing on here, especially during drop-off and pickup, is having increased enforcement.
Correct.
I drive past the middle school. I always see a cop car out there. I also pass by Washington. We'll also see a cop car there as well. So obviously, it's tough to always be present or visible all the time during pickup and drop-off, but it is a focus of the department to be visible and be out there and make sure things are safe during 100%. Those hours.
Yes, absolutely, and that's what we're trying to focus on. We certainly want drivers to be slowing down and doing that 15 miles per hour, and I'm telling you right now that if you're doing more than what the normal speed limit is, you're certainly going to be getting a citation for that school zone area. So, we will have extra patrol out there. We will be definitely cracking down on it, so please be careful. Just stay off your phone. Just look up and look at the road conditions in front of you. Pay attention to what's going on, because if, you know, something like that were to happen again and somebody got hurt, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and that's we got to be able to travel and get around our, you know, town without having to worry about accidents.
Yeah, it's hopefully the last time we need to have a conversation about a situation like this happening here in the Beaver Dam, and that we're all aware of the safeties and the cautions and the things that are in place, so drivers are not that close again to hitting a kid on their way to school.
Right. Yeah, pedestrian versus vehicle accidents usually end up with severe injuries. We did have one a few years ago where a juvenile was pretty seriously hurt, ended up going to the hospital. I believe there was a broken bone involved. We had a bicycle, essentially a bicyclist acting as a pedestrian as he was crossing the road, got struck by a car, and that one was, you know, talk with your kids, make sure they're not jumping out in front of traffic.
Yep.
I mean, that motorist was being responsible, but the bicyclist was
sometimes
not
it's the pedestrian's fault.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So once in a while,
so another reminder, talk with your kids as well.
Yep.
So make sure that they're being safe and they're listening to the crossing guard.
It's important to listen to those in authority and listen to what they say. They know what's
in that case, definitely.
And they know the right things to do and keep people safe.
It's not a constitutional right thing. We're trying to keep you safe. Yeah,
they have your best interests in heart when they're mentioning them and talk about those things.
Yes.
But we are quickly running out of time. The lieutenant has a busy day, so we got to wrap things up here a little earlier than normal on Community Comment. But I want to thank our guest, Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson with the Beaver Dam Police Department, for joining us here on Community Comment today. Lieutenant, thank you again so much for coming.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.
Hit a home run with our